Text for this morning is found in Matthew 13 and also a couple of other places in the Bible, suggesting it's a very prominent story that Jesus tells. It's also a story that if you are feeling especially guilty or in other ways distressed about how your life is going, reading this story will probably make you feel worse. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat there, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." In other words, watch the heck out. Be of good soil so that when the word hits you, something good happens, and not the other stuff. Of course, if the other stuff has already happened, this doesn't help. That interpretation of the story. That interpretation of the story, the one that brings forth a lot of guilt or that makes a guilty conscience even more stressful, depends on a view of the sower and of the field that's very constricted in my view. It's almost like the field is a checkerboard. There's the rocks over here, the path over here, the thorns over here, but there's the good soil. And your job is to make sure you wind up in that one little patch over there where the good soil is so that when the seed hits you, it grows. On the other hand, and I think there is another hand, I was taught early in my ministry, in fact, about the time I started, from a wise mentor who said, "You know what? People don't come to church to be reminded how unworthy they are. They pretty much know that." So I would give you an alternative interpretation to the story, depending completely on a different view of both the sower and the field. The sower seems reckless and careless. The sower of the word, God himself metaphorically, continues to fling these blessings every which way and in every direction. And the field is not a checkerboard where the good stuff is here and the bad stuff is everywhere else and you can tell the difference. Rather, I get from the story that the field looks a whole lot more like an old abandoned golf course in West Texas, where several have tried to do several different things. And after several years, somebody tossed a seed on the other side of a rock that found a tiny little patch of good soil, and we have the theater. That's the image, I think, that makes us less inclined to focus on the guilt for what isn't, than on the gratitude for what is. So you can read the same story and get two very different emotional reactions, and we by and large have a choice. Hold on to the guilt or find warrant to be grateful. I would focus on the gratitude. I think it makes more sense. I think it's more useful both in our ministry as a church and in our lives as human beings and in our heads living with the reality of what all we are or aren't. Ministry is risky, and the idea that the metaphor of ministry as sowing seeds, well, there's a risk that we will be wasteful. There is a risk that what we do will fall on deaf ears or be abused or even vilified in some way. Any missionary on a foreign field will tell you that that's mostly what happens, but occasionally, a seed is thrown behind a rock where inexplicably is some good soil and something useful happens, and then it's worth it. Entitlement programs benefiting the down and out are often evaluated, sometimes criticized, for wastefulness. And we can feel guilty about that. Our mobile pantry is an example of an entitlement program run by the South Plains Food Bank designed to help the down and out. Well, the cost of surveilling the program such that we're sure that everybody who receives something is somehow worthy of it is actually more than what it would take or what we would stand to lose by people perhaps abusing the system a little bit. And that's true more or less with other forms of assistance and subsistence. There may be the risk of wastefulness, but the benefit outweighs the risk when you start hearing the stories of how these programs work. Jeannie and I are affiliated with the food bank in a couple of different ways, not only with the mobile pantry that's here, but in another relationship that we have with the food bank. We were invited to go to a lunch a couple of weeks ago, and we got a chance to tour the facility and see the infrastructure of not just what happens on mobile pantry, but throughout the food bank's entire work on the South Plains. They are regarded as one of the top food banks in the country, and there's a good reason for that. For one thing, last year they distributed, you ready for this, 8 million pounds of food in this area. And they did it with an overhead cost of 7 cents on a dollar. 7% overhead is stunning for what they're able to do, given the infrastructure and complexity of that operation. More important than that, we heard a story of one person in a school in Lubbock that encountered by chance a child in an elementary school on a Monday morning who had snuck away from his class and into an empty classroom where in the cloakroom were kids' lunches. And that child had snuck away into that room to eat the lunches first thing in the morning or portions of them because he had nothing to eat all weekend. He hadn't eaten since Friday and found this storehouse of food. Now, what we do with the mobile pantry is distribute essentially a week's worth of food for a family of four once a month. This is not a replacement for all food needs. But even with a week's worth in a month, it provides the chance that from time to time, what's done in that program prevents the need for a child on a Monday morning to forage for food when food has been provided. We do not completely know, nor can we fully surveil, the quote-unquote worthiness of every client in the food pantry, nor can the food bank. And for all we know, some people might take subsistence food and sell it, or do something that they shouldn't do with it. The point is that occasionally there's the chance that, metaphorically, a seed will fly over a rock into some good soil, and a kid on a Monday morning won't have to fight for food because of this ministry. And that's why the ministry continues. So the risk of wasting food is outweighed by the gratitude for what comes for the opportunity to do this ministry. We get to pick. I pick the gratitude. I think of that kid in the cloakroom and appreciate the opportunity to at least do something that has a chance of lessening the odds of that happening. I pick gratitude for this ministry rather than guilt for not doing it all. I make the same choice when I look at my own life, which happens to coincide with this ministry, but I think the story is applicable to all of us, just the details are different. It so happens that tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of the day on which I was ordained to this office. 30 years ago tomorrow, they laid their hands on me and entitled me, gave me the opportunity to do this work. And in the competition that guys always run when they look at their lives and they look at the lives of those who are doing the same thing, out of my seminary graduating class, I won. I got the biggest church. I was feeling pretty smug about that. Landed in a place in West Central Illinois of about 400 people. That was pretty darn big for a guy right out of school. And after about 4 or 5 years, it started to become clear that, you know what, maybe this run is coming to an end. So I started thinking about doing other things, and I was fully prepared to leave the ministry after about 6 years when I got an acceptance letter to graduate school. Of course, you know where that went. I got that letter of acceptance to graduate school and then wrote a letter of resignation from that position in that what used to be the biggest church anybody got, and I submitted it. And while nobody said good riddance, nobody tried to talk me out of it. So be it. I'd left. I was done after about 6 years. Well, it only took a week when a friend of mine who worked in the bishop's office asked me to do him a favor, which was stunning. He said, there's this little church that just lost their minister. He's moving on. And if you could keep the wheels on this small church for about a year or less, I'd really appreciate it. I'm going, are you kidding me? I had given up this line of work, and somebody tossed a seed behind a rock, and there were lots of rocks in my life about that time. And it landed someplace from which grew a style of ministry that is still working, you know, now 25 years later. And this is the fourth place for which that has occurred. I am grateful for that because, in fact, what was true for me and what's largely true for all of us in many ways, we really don't deserve some of the opportunities we get. But from time to time, somebody decides we're worth the risk. Think of the crossroads all of us go through in the course of our lives. I would suspect that the notion of someone, perhaps coming out of the blue, tossing a seed behind a rock in our life is not all that unusual. And we find ourselves doing something in a new way or in a new place or even something completely different that we hadn't anticipated, but which, by the grace of God, takes root, begins to grow, and starts working again. And for that, I'm grateful. Because it is true, we are not worthy. But it is also true that we are worth the risk, and we move forward. Now, those are just examples. The mobile food pantry, my little story. It is the reason that we regularly, in this case once a month, celebrate the Holy Sacrament, the Sacrament of the Altar, which sends those two messages very clearly. You are not worthy, because we are reenacting the Last Supper the night before Jesus was put to death, because we are not worthy. Now, we can be consumed by guilt over that if we wish. Or, when we hear the words again and again, relentlessly and without fail, the body of Christ given, the blood of Christ shed. The other side of that coin is, you were, you are, and you will be worth the risk to move forward from today and continue to be who you are and continue to be a part of this ministry. So especially on days when the week has not gone well and you are feeling perhaps guilty, angry, afraid, that's when it's most urgently the case that you hear the words that generate gratitude. The body of Christ given, the blood of Christ shed. Jesus loves you, this we know. Guilt or gratitude? I land on gratitude every day when I remember that I was worth the risk. Amen.